Yay Networks.
Welcome to the Great Girlfriends Podcast, where we discuss life, love, laughter, and everything in between. I'm your host, Sybil Amuti, and I can't wait for you to hear all of the Great Girlfriend magic on today's show. So without further ado, grab something great to drink, grab your pen and your paper, and get ready for this week's episode. Enjoy! Happy Wednesday! I can sing that over and over and over again. I think I've said that about 400 times in my lifetime, Minda. Like, I have said that for week after week after week. But happy, happy Wednesday, great girlfriends. I feel like you're just coming into like a sisterhood conversation because my guest today is not like, she's a guest to you, but well, maybe not because they know you. Because they already know who you are because everybody's reading your books. So you're not really a guest to, you're not even a guest. You're just a great girlfriend that happened to swing by, dripped, by the way. Fully dripped, glossed, glammed, like dripped in every way. And I thought it would be so important to have you on. So I want to welcome to the podcast. This is your first time. No, this is not your first time on the podcast.
It's my second time, but it's been probably about 4 years.
It's been too long. Yeah, I don't even know how to welcome you, Minda, but welcome Minda Hearts to the Great Girlfriend Show again.
Hey, thank you for having me again. And I mean, I'm just glad you invited me so that I could see your
face. Okay. I know, because we have been the most pathetic LA let's get together. Actually, we've done the LA thing. That's what people say in LA. Everybody says, let's get together and it never happens.
Yeah.
It never happens. But I was like, I'm a baiter. I'm going to get her on this podcast and I'm going to see her face and she's going to say yes. And I'm going to get her in here. So I get to see my boo's face. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So just background. I met Minda in 2017 at Prudential at the Great Girlfriends Conference. That was my first time meeting you. I think so. You were at the conference and we had one conversation that like spiraled into many more conversations / meetups / connection moments / I just feel so many things that happened fast where I was like, Minda is my kind of girl, my kind of woman. I just love and respect and admire you as a thought leader. And I brought her in today because I was like, we're going to talk about thought leadership. She didn't even ask what. She was like, okay, bet. But there's so many like facets to being a thought leader. And I thought, who better than you to really come on and have this conversation? Because I so respect the work that you have been doing as an author, as an advocate, as a DEIJ facilitator, as a speaker, right? As a voice for our generation. Just work, Minda. Like, you've been putting in a lot of work and you were very clear on what you were building in 2017. Very clear. How do you feel?
What did the kids say? Look at God.
Look at God. Won't he do it? Yeah, look at God, but look at you trusting because faith without works is dead. So right. You obviously have been putting in the belief and you have been activating it on a tangible level like every day.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for reminding me of that because,
yes,
you know, some people might, you know, they read the memo or whatever book they might have met me through.
Did you hear that? Whatever book they might have met me through because I'm an author.
No.
All right, go ahead. No, let it drop because that's valuable.
I appreciate that. And, but I was very clear. And I think that setting that intention from the get-go when maybe everybody was doing all the things and different things. And I was very clear that my mission is women of color in the workplace, even when it wasn't popular.
Yes.
And it wasn't popular. And companies didn't want to invite me to speak about it. And so I remember all of those times, the hard times while I was still working my 9-to-5 and still building, you know, my side hustle or whatever you want to call it. So, but the thing that kept me going was courage.
Yeah.
It was the ability to do something that frightens one. And I knew that if I kept going, even when it was hard, even when I got the no's, that somebody would benefit from my courage because I think about all the great girlfriends that came before me and I get to benefit from their courage. So that's the thing that kept me going.
Okay, so one of my favorite Minda moments is, you're there but you're not there, but one of my favorite moments is when I go to the library with my kids. Girl, I see your book on the shelf. I'm like, I just love it so much because I remember when you were in the process of writing and I remember what you wanted to achieve. And I mean, and when I see it on the shelf in my neighborhood out here in LA And in New Jersey, by the way. And when I see it on shelves, when I see you out in the public, in the workplace, I understand what it took for you to trust yourself mm-hmm. to be the voice that you needed to be. That is like not a small thing at all. There's a lot of trust because you have to qualify yourself as an author, as a writer, as a thought leader to say, this is an essential hypothesis that I want to explore. Mm-hmm. And I want to ensure that I validate this qualitatively and quantitatively. So get your books, get your conversations, get all the pieces. What is it like for you? Like, how do you tell yourself that you're good enough to do that?
That's a good question, because I think a lot of us, even if we know we're good, that self-talk.
Yeah,
right? We have a choice. It could be positive or negative. And the one thing that always kind of rang in my head was this quote by Audre Lorde. She said, beware of feeling you're not good enough to deserve it. So the moments that I felt like I wasn't, I reminded myself, Minda, you deserve humanity, dignity, equity, respect in every space you walk into.
Yes.
So own that. Put some respect on your own name, right? And that is what I constantly, even to this day, I constantly, even when people... We'll probably get into it, but somebody questioned if I could do something else recently. And I was just like, you know what? Yes, I can. And it, because you don't see the vision, we're not doing this together.
Hello.
Okay.
Right, right. You just disqualified yourself.
Yes, exactly. So when we know who we are in Christ and whomever you might believe in, when we know, we have to keep knowing, even on those days when we're not sure, because that's the part of faith, right?
Yeah.
We have enough faith that he's going to do the job, even if I don't.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That was good. We have enough faith that he's going to do the job even if I can't, because my belief is there, or even if I don't, because my belief is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that possibility surrounds me when I don't even have enough in me to push forward. Yeah. That gives you the strength to push forward. That is really good. So, Minda, because there are so many times, and there are so many great girlfriends who are listening, who have counted themselves out. Mm-hmm. And I think it is so easy for us to count ourselves out of doing things for ourselves, right? But count ourselves in when it comes to conversations at our job, right? When there's a check on the line, we qualify ourselves. In the workplace, we've validated, we've said that I belong here. And I don't believe that we are a job. I don't believe we are our titles. And how many of our friends have gotten laid off as of recent and they're like, now what? Because all of their thought leadership was lying under the umbrella of whatever big company they were a part of. And it's not a bad thing to be a really strong employee, but it's also not a bad thing to take that power of thought leadership and apply it to your personal legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see that you did. You decided that your personal legacy would prevail over all of the different space. You could plug yourself in today, go book, but you knew that your personal legacy was tied to this thought leadership and you were willing to put yourself on the line, right? What would you say to the woman who's listening who's like, yeah, that's hard. Minda, I hear you saying belief. I hear you saying he got me. I hear you saying what Audre Lorde said. But at the end of the day, I feel more qualified as an employee than mm-hmm. I do as an individual with this capacity.
And it's yes and, right?
Mm.
It's yes and.
Yeah.
And come real close to the speaker, however you're listening to this.
Yes.
You know, I got something just for you. But it's part of it is reminding yourself that you're the asset, right? You are the CEO of me, right? Even if you work at a company, you are the brand, right?
Yeah.
Never forget that,
yes.
Right? And so that's part of it. And again, it goes back to that self-talk.
Yeah.
The moment that I write about it in the memo, you can have an empire state of mind or an enemy state of mind, right? Empire is I can make it anywhere, no matter
yes.
what's going on, right? I'm turning a dollar, you know, dollar into 15, whatever it is,
yeah.
I'm doing it. That enemy state of mind is constantly, that's that imposter syndrome. That's all that stuff mm-hmm. questioning you at every turn. You got here for a reason. They hired you for a reason. There's no grateful to be here on the job description.
Come on.
This is okay. So we have to remind ourselves who we are,
yeah.
right? Again, I said, put some respect on your own name.
Yes.
We need to do that. Even if our manager doesn't do it, even if our allies don't do it, even if your best friends don't do it, right?
Yeah.
Like we get to do that. And you take that thought leadership in every space you enter.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you might be an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur,
yeah.
but regardless, you are the brand and you are building your career because you are the CEO of any space you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it that you want? Get really clear, because again, my grandmother used to say, closed mouths don't get fed.
Hello.
And part of it is our self-advocacy. And the moment we stop advocating for ourselves and articulating our value and quantifying our worth, then we do count ourselves out, right?
Right.
Last thing I'll say, Sybil, is when I started on this journey, people would say, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are you talking about women of color? Why don't you just talk about women, blah, 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 blah. I even had one investor say, I'll buy your company if you stop talking about women of color.
What?
Yes. And so I was like, I'm not on that time. Hello? So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I believed in me, even when there were five major publishers, four said no to the memo, right? Now I'm negotiating my fourth book, Sybil, and one of the ones that said no to the memo is my highest bidder. Okay. For this next book. Okay.
So, how about that? Because so, you're the asset.
I am the asset, right? Yes. Regardless of, they didn't see I was the asset 5 years ago, but yeah. I was still that girl.
Hello, Minda. Yes. Oh my gosh. She's like, but I was still that girl. Minda, how valuable is that? Jesus, you just lit a fire in my whole being. I just want you to know that this is like bam, boom. How did you know that what you were doing was building an enterprise and a business? How did you know that? Because I remember when you were working your 9-to-5 and we was meeting on your lunch breaks and stuff. And I just love meeting with you. I do. I'm like, we have so much fun. And mm-hmm. and it's always so smart. And it's always like, all right, here go three steps for you. Here goes three steps for me. Let's go. But how did you know that it was time, that you were building a business and it was time to treat it like a business?
Yeah. You know, when we say, oh, someone's being unserious. For a long time, I was being unserious, right? Mm. Like I was building this thing, but I was building it in fear. Mm. When people would say, oh, you're doing that little thing, I would kind of look at it as I was doing that little thing, mm-hmm. right? In the moment that I stopped seeing it as doing that little thing, that I'm doing real work that's impacting real people's lives,
yes.
then I started to treat it like a business. I started to treat it like my baby. I started to treat it like my precious possession, right? Mm-hmm. Again, no one else might see it that way, but I get to view it that way. I get to speak life into it. And it took me almost 5 years to save and keep working my day job to be my investor inside of my company. And once I realized that, oh, you know what? I'm my investor. You know, at first I was looking around like, why can't I get, you know, funding here and there? And then I'm like, wait a second, you can be your own investor. And once I started to redefine what success looked like for me, then I was able to treat it like a real business. And eventually I was able to leave. And, you know, I'm thankful because we need people on the inside and the outside.
I believe you have to know your beat and you have to understand that beat and be able to honor it, right? Mm-hmm. And I love and shout out to all of my great girlfriends, our great girlfriends on the inside, who are constantly advocating for the need for our work to be seen on the interior, because that support matters. It matters. So back to thought leadership, because you saying you are the asset helps someone to reconsider, like, you know, even as they're looking at job descriptions or why they're entering their companies. You were chosen because you're an asset. You are the asset. They are looking at you because they want your thought leadership. If you're not working in, I guess I could, if you're not, you know, doing a physical job, you're not working in the FedEx hub, you're not working in on the garbage, even then they need your thought leadership. They need your strategies around how to best execute. But if you are, most of the listeners, I would say, are working inside of a company or corporation, your thought leadership is why they brought you in. So now how do we evaluate that? How do we, Minda, make sure that that is represented at its highest level when we're in the workplace, and then when we go into spaces that are adjacent to our workplace, like LinkedIn, mm-hmm. where we get to also expand our voice and extend the reach of our conversation, how do we make it so valuable and sticky that it is respected in the way that we need it to be?
I love that question so much, because part of it first is reminding ourselves that we have a voice. Mm-hmm. Because how many of us will tell ourselves that we don't have a voice, I'm just going to keep it quiet, I'm just happy to be here, all the things, right? And then once I realized, because I used to tell myself the same thing, you know, I was definitely the person sitting in the back mm-hmm. of the meeting. I don't want to be, you know, even though I had all these ideas, but I was really an introvert, and I still am to some degree. And
girl, to like the an ounce of the introvert that I knew in 2017, like an ounce. Okay, go ahead.
But I realized that part of the equity, when we talk about equity in the workplace, the one thing that we have that no one can take away from you is your voice, mm-hmm. is your thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And so when we don't use them, when we don't activate them, then we're allowing somebody to stifle our genius, stifle our passion, stifle our voices. And I went through so much of my career not saying the thing that needed to be said, right? Or giving insight for something I knew I had been working on, right? Mm-hmm. And so even if you work a 9-to-5 for some at somebody else's table, you could still use your thought leadership if you're in marketing, right? What are some of the trends that you're seeing in your industry? Share them on LinkedIn, right? What are some favorite articles, and extract like 2 to 3 tips that you really want to hone in on, and you engage your followers on LinkedIn to say, what are you seeing in this way? And so you still get to keep your job, right? You just get to be a voice. And it's funny because a friend of mine, shout out, I don't know if you know him, Sybil, but Stephen A. Hart. I don't know
if you know him.
Yeah,
so, yeah, he's been your friend for a long time.
Yeah, he's a brother from another mother. And I wasn't on LinkedIn when we're talking about thought leadership. And he said, Minda, you should be on LinkedIn. You should be posting, you know, because I was mostly playing on Twitter. And once I went over to LinkedIn and started to use the thought leadership that I was just tweeting or just things that popped up, a year later, I became the top voice on LinkedIn. Thought that the space was...
Yeah, it was saturated. Yeah, everybody's there.
What other article? How many more times can I post a Harvard Business Review article? Didn't somebody else just do that? But when I was consistent, when I was authentic to my voice and the things that I was doing, then... Yeah, literally a year later, I became the top voice for equity in the workplace on by LinkedIn. Okay, so let me tell you, now is the time. You're a thought. You have thoughts, and you are a leader.
Yeah,
activated.
Yes, right. Now is the time. Yeah, and it's so interesting because I have to agree with you. That idea that it's already been said, or we're waiting on other people to say it because they're more vocal. I love how you honor the fact that you are an introvert. But that doesn't take your voice away.
No.
And it doesn't take the power for you to choose the platforms where you amplify your voice more.
Right.
Because I'm so sure that so many people did not know the fire on the inside of you until they start following Twitter. Like, whoa, Minda is fiery. She got fire. She has a whole fire, but you were selective at when you chose to say the things you said.
Right.
And now, like, you're in a space where... I think it's so important for people to understand that, because so many people are waiting on the people who have the bigger voices to say something. Go say this on the podcast, Sybil. You should say this. I should say it. You care more about that than me. You should say that.
Yes.
That's your thought. You're the leader. You say that. Like, I'm saying the things that matter to me that I'm passionate about. Every voice is needed.
Every single one.
Right? And I think that is a very present and essential reminder for every single woman out there. Even if it's been said, right? So many women before you, before me, have talked about the things that we're talking about today. The lens, the relevance, the timing, the perspective today is so fresh and essential, right?
Yep.
The branding of it all, everything, the way that the nuances of who we are, like your DNA is tied to your thought leadership.
Yes.
So the way that you were born to say the things that you say is essential to the thought that you're putting out there, that perspective. And I hope that anyone listening, you know, everyone listening will recognize that DNA that is attached to your voice, your thoughts, your perspective, it's required in the world. It's not an option.
No, it's mandatory.
Isn't it something, I know this in my family, and I'll say in the Black community for sure, you know, Grandmama gets to hospice and everybody wants to put a camera in front of her and audio. Tell us your story.
Right.
Who was the great, great, great to the uncle? How'd you do what you did? Where you came from? How did you descend from this place? Why you migrate here? We do want the story, right? But we wait until we're at the edge of time to capture things that are such a relevant piece of how we live today.
Absolutely.
And I just don't want to be her. And I don't want to leave hers like that in my platform. I want to make sure that we're activating those women who feel like we've got time. I understand that we think that we have time, and we do have time to do great things. There are so many lives waiting in the balance today. There's so many women that watched you do what you did at your job. After those 5 years of you investing and building and planting seeds, they were like, shoot, if Minda did it, I can do it.
Yes.
Because Minda did it, I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Minda gave me a blueprint, right?
Yeah.
I know you hear that often.
I do, yeah.
That you're creating blueprints. So other ways that thought leadership matters to you, when you think about the importance of women's voices and us being advocates and allies to so many movements, what are some of the other ways you think thought leadership is important to the way we see the world?
Yeah. Excuse me. I think that, again, like you said, it's just the time is now to talk about it. And the way that I look at thought leadership too, you don't have to have 1 million followers. You don't have to have 100 followers, right? You just keep, I remember when I used to tweet, I probably had 100 followers at best, okay? And probably half were like my family and friends. But I would just put my thoughts out there.
Yeah.
And eventually all those thoughts turned into a book.
Yeah.
All those things turned into a newsletter. All those things turned into a podcast. And so nobody's stopping you but you.
Oh my goodness.
Nobody is stopping you but you. Now we have so many resources at our fingertips to be able to do the thing, right? And the other part of it, when you think about, who's going to hear me? Who wants to listen to me? I'm not an expert. When I became a workplace consultant, some other black lady probably had 10 times more experience than me, right?
Uh-huh.
But my perspective, my point of view is important too.
Yes.
Your point of view is important, and your voice is tied to someone else's freedom.
Oh my God.
And that is such why your thought leadership matters.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, Sybil, how my story was her story.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think, what if I wouldn't have told it?
Yeah.
What if I wouldn't have said it? Doesn't mean that someone else wouldn't have done it or wrote the book or anything, but I realized that it wasn't just about me.
Yeah.
So when we think about thought leadership, it's not to like be on the magazine covers. It's not to get the accolades or awards, but it's for the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, the ecosystem. Speaking of that, because that is so important. And I do feel like that's where the wires get crossed and the cords get broken and the bridges are broken when, you know, so many people are doing their part in the ecosystem. And then you got people who are sitting back going, well, they did it. They're doing it. So it's already being done. I think about, in the great girlfriend community, I will often hear people say, oh my gosh, I love the way in New York, you guys really move and shake, right? And that used to be the narrative. And I will say, we did a great job of creating, come on. We were like superheroes and empowerment. Honestly, mm-hmm. I felt like, boy, we really get this thing out here on the East Coast. And we're really starting to define what we want sisterhood and empowerment and support to look like. And it was just like a whole, woo, it was good. But I also think that it can happen in any market.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the heartbeat and the character of the women who are really curating an experience. And I also want to empower somebody who's in small town, you know, wherever in the world, that if it's not happening, that maybe you're the one that's meant to pioneer that, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's time to pioneer something fresh and new. I want to know about a time, Minda, where you were feeling so qualified, right? Mm-hmm. You were feeling so qualified. You knew this thing was yours. You may have been pitching something, you know, as a thought leader, you've written the books. You're the speaker, you're an authority, an authority in the space, but you got to know that just was like, I wasn't supposed to get a no right here. I'm supposed to get a yes right here. Have mm-hmm. you ever had a time like that, or share a time where that happened to you and how you responded?
Yeah, it felt like a sucker punch.
You're like, Jesus, you knocked the wind out of me with that one.
Yeah. When you just, because you hit it on the head, when you just know it's yours.
Yeah, it's
right?
yours.
Like, nobody could tell you anything different. And it was actually a couple years ago. It was like during the height of the pandemic, a lot of brands were shifting to online, you know, shows and this sort of thing. And it was a workplace website. I won't say their name, but a workplace website. And they had reached out to me and said, hey, we're looking for people just like you in the space who talk about these things to host this new show that we're doing. And I interviewed Sybil for this for like 4 weeks, right? And I'm just like, what I thought, killing it. We're having these great conversations.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, in a week, we'll make a decision.
Yeah.
I get that call back in a week. I just thought, they're like, actually, we've gone with somebody else. And it...
Yeah. How you going with somebody else and it's mine?
Yeah. Who else is going to talk about this thing like me?
Yeah,
you know,
this
and
is mine.
It hurt. And I'm just like, wow, like, and that's it. And they're like, well, we'll stay in touch. You know, it's been like 3 years. I've not heard from them again. But what I did, I needed to dust myself off and try again, right? It didn't stop me. One no didn't stop me. And I had to remind myself that my worth is not tied to anybody's answers.
That's right.
To me.
That's right.
And so I still am that girl regardless of that.
Yes.
But I had to give myself the pep talk. But what I leaned into is what's for me won't miss me.
Mm.
And that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm okay with that. I find peace knowing that God is going to close the doors.
Yeah.
He's going to open the doors. Right. And I got to be smart to discern which ones to go through and not. And, you know, even to this day, I kind of think about that moment at times. But I'm like, you know what? My thing is coming to
That's
me,
right.
whatever it's supposed to be. And so, again, just reminding ourselves that somebody else's decision for us is not tied to our worth, is not tied to our value, is not tied to our thought leadership.
Right.
I went on to write two more books after that. No. Okay. So, And then,
because you're that girl and you always were.
Because I always was. I wasn't the girl for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I am the girl for something else.
That's right.
And then I created my own things, right? You know, okay, I'm not hosting that show. I went on LinkedIn Live and started hosting my own show every Monday about the thing that I would have talked about had they hired me. And it's been great. And community, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we all get where we need to go. Mm-hmm.
How will you know, or how do you measure the success of the work you do today?
That's a hard question. But for me, you know, it's so funny. I didn't realize that the impact of the work that I was doing for a long time, because that introverted side of me, I just kind of like go do the thing and then like go back home. And but the more I've been outside and in person, just how many women I meet, couple times I was at the airport, they're like, the memo, right? And just the emails and things where people say, thank you, I was at my wit's end. Yeah. I got a new job, I asked for more. It was that book. You know, I had somebody cash at me randomly the other day and say, the memo changed my life, you know?
Wow.
And you don't realize, again, my voice was tied to many else. It's freedom, right?
Yeah.
The same way that we read the Toni Morrisons and we read the Audre Lordes and you insert the name, my freedom was found by reading their work, right? And so I feel that impact. And I know when we hear those words, you know, again, I only ever wanted to start this work to remind people that they've been that girl, right? Mm-hmm. Because we've been in these workplaces and we don't get the promotion, we get looked over, we don't look like the obvious winner. And I wanted to remind them that you belong in every room you enter, but not every room deserves to have you. And once you understand that, then we have our power, right? And so for me, hearing that constantly, just thank you, it's not like an ego thing. It's like, I'm glad that we see each other.
Yes, that we see each other. Oh my goodness. And that gratitude affirms the thing that you said from the beginning, that you are essentially building a freedom pathway for so many people. And the generational wealth to that has no bounds. It has no bounds. For my daughter to uphold Harriet Tubman the way she does in her heart, and she can recite facts about, mommy, she walked 100 miles barefoot. Did you know? Like, you know, there is no limit to the amount of the depth of that wealth. There's no limit to that when you step out there and when you take on the position of, I'm that girl and this freedom is tied to me. And the sisterhood of it all is so important, because I really want to touch on that too. How we create this accountability, because it gets heavy. It is heavy. It is heavy to hold the weight. You know, grateful, yes, grateful. Also heavy to hold the weight of community and to be burdened on your heart with things that you're like, but women are still making less, but we're still, you know, and you want to move it today. Like you do. So how do you set your pace so that you can be patient in the process, not overburdened, and still empowered to move forward at the right, you got to move at the right pace, right? Because you want to flip tables. Your spirit is like, it's a flip table day, but this is not the moment for that. So how do you pace yourself as a thought leader to ensure that you don't get that burnout?
Listen, I've hit a couple of moments in the journey where I did burnout.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. The end of 2022, I was like crawling to New Year's. But part of it, again, is realizing that it is community, right?
Yeah.
And leaning upon our girlfriends, leaning on our squad, and realizing that there's other people that can also help you do this work.
Yeah.
Minda, you know, and I love that for all of us. And the more empowered that each of us are in our own spaces, we get to be our own advocates. We get to be an advocate for other people. But for me, it really is no longer worried about like what I'm able to do or is it sustainable, but am I bringing my healthiest self to every space I enter? And if I'm tired, if I'm overwhelmed, then that's not my healthiest self.
Right.
And no one's going to get the best of me. So I'm constantly reminding myself that this is a marathon. Right. I used to be a sprinter. I don't have to get to the 50 meters like tonight, right now. Okay. But knowing that let's pace ourselves, because I love the pace of this work in terms of before 2020, when I meet with different companies and we talk about these things, I say, well, you know, we probably won't be able to do anything like equity wise for another 10 years. You know, we can't do these things. We got all these. And then, you know, when the unfortunate death of George Floyd happened, you saw companies do
they
things
like Minda, call me now.
Quick and fast, right? Yes. Things that might have taken 10 years last time are taking a month now. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to talk about race prior the way we can talk about it now. That's and right. So for me, that makes me happy because I remember when companies would hire me and they'd say, don't say this word, don't say that word, don't even bring this up.
Yeah.
And now we get to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. How can I bring my full self to work if I can't talk about being a Black woman? Mm-hmm. That's an oxymoron, that's a major part right? Or however, right. If you're disabled, if you're over 50, whatever it might be. And so for me, think about the conversations that we get to have out loud now. And so that shows I was part of that. Mm-hmm. You are part of that, right? And so for me, that is the litmus test for our progress. And if we could do that in the last 3 years, what could we do in three more?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I was having a conversation with a woman who's like a godmother to me. Her name is Coach Shirley McRae, and she is the first woman to coach football in the United States of America. She coached high school football in Memphis, Tennessee, and a movie was written, an adaptation of her life, and Goldie Hawn played her as a white woman.
Oh.
And so, yeah. And so anyway, every time I say it to say, and she also helped to integrate the University of Memphis. She played on the boys basketball team as a woman, all the things. And every time she sees me, she cry. Right. And it's like she just cry like these like deep heartfelt, like, you know, like she hadn't seen me in eternity. She cried so hard. And so the last time I saw her, I said, why do you cry every time? Every time you see me, you cry. Like she cried. She's like, oh, my God. She said, because you, women like you, your generation, you are the answer to our prayers. And to see the way that you all are able to live unapologetically, out loud, speak freely, liberally start businesses, liberally sit at tables across the table from white men, right?
Yeah.
Advocate for what you know we deserved years ago, but you have the voice, the power, the courage, and the freedom to do it now. You're the answer to my prayer. So to be alive and to see the answer to my prayer living in front of me, she said, it just makes me cry because we did what we did so you can do, literally, they crossed so we could walk. We did what we did so you could do what you do. And to see you all do it, you know, with so much, she said, with what it looks like so much ease, you know, she said, it just means the world, right? And so, and she caught me on a day where I was like, I needed that. I was crawling, right? Yeah. I was at the end of 2022. I was like dragging one weak leg, like, am I going to make it? But I forgot that I'm the answer to Harriet Tubman's prayer. I forgot I'm the answer to Coach McRae's prayer, to my mom's prayers. I forgot how many, it's in you, when you're in the thick of all this, whatever your thick is, it's so easy to forget.
It is.
The people that journeyed before us so that we could journey and how many people after us are going to need us to keep going so that they can continue the journey. And so it resurrected something. It like it ignited me and it resurrected the fire on the inside of me to want to amplify more voices, more aggressively, more intentionally as a thought leader to know my role. I'm asking because you know your role, Minda, and I love it so much. And I wanted you on today because I wanted for listeners to find their role. If they have not located their role and to understand, you might be passionate about something this year and it might evolve next year. That's okay.
Yes.
But never, ever mute the voice.
You have a role. Just know
that.
You
have a role.
You have a role.
Right.
Yes.
Find the role and get into that role wherever it is.
Exactly.
Wherever it is. And never be bound to the idea that it's already been done because Minda's doing it, Sybil's doing it, Riley's doing it, whomever else is doing. Mm-hmm. We're doing our role. And it's time for you to do your role. And when you get tired, plug into the community of women who are thought leaders in the space where you are. Because I tell you, sometimes I like my text threads, and I mean, I literally just last night was on a prayer call with, you know, Ty Beauchamp.
Yep.
Hey, Ty. Last night, she were texting about something else, and I was like, something, how you doing? We're tired. Girl, I'm tired. Me too. Let's pray. And we got on a call real quick, and we just knocked it out, and that's it. And we leaned in, plain and simple. And it was nothing but a lean in that we both needed in a moment to just reinforce that we're not alone.
Yeah.
And that what we're doing is essential. So I don't even have a question behind that. I just Final thoughts, Minda. Final thoughts.
You said it. Everybody has a role. And, you know, your role doesn't have to be our role.
Yeah.
It's your unique role, you know, and just know that you're part of the ecosystem. Yeah. And you get to activate that at any time. And we hope that you'll do it now.
Yes. Okay. I do have a final question because I just thought about this. Because we do have this new book that's coming, right? This is book number four. Or five?
It's four.
Okay, it's four. So that'll be coming. What is next for you as well?
Yeah.
What do you see?
Great question. I'm getting more comfortable with the various roles that I want to play, right? For so long, I've been playing a certain role. And so I'm giving myself permission to expand my dream. Mm-hmm. And so as I've been writing books for the last few years, I want to move into also writing TV and film. And telling our stories in a different way to a larger audience. So that's for the last 2 years, I've been taking screenwriting classes, and I'm starting to pitch show ideas. And so I'm excited for it. And I started a production company, being intentional, called the Queen of Hearts Productions. And I hope that in the next, you know, year or two or three, however God opens up that door, that you'll be able to see my work expanded and more freedom taking place in other ways.
I like that, Minda. Something just came to me. I love this so much. Okay, so Great Girlfriends want to keep up with you, Minda. If they haven't already purchased the first three books, give them the titles, where they can find them, and where they can keep up with you on a continual basis.
First of all, thank you for being a great girlfriend.
You know I love you, girl.
Thank you so much. And the first book is The Memo. The second book is Right Within. And my most recent book is for young adults, You Were More Than Magic.
Mm. And they're everywhere books, literally.
Wherever you like to buy your books.
Yes, they're everywhere.
They're on Audible, all three too. And if you don't mind my voice, you recorded my books.
Yes, I love it. I love that you did your voice too. I love it so much. And then where can I keep up with you on social?
At Minda Hearts on your favorite platform. But follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I do my thought leadership.
Awesome. Thank you so much for everything that you do, for who you are, for so being so authentic about it. I just love you and I appreciate you. And I'm so glad you came by today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Great Girlfriends. Peace. All right, Great Girlfriends. Did you enjoy this week's episode of the podcast? If so, would you please give us your amazing review on iTunes? Every single review helps another great girlfriend get plugged into the podcast and the community. Speaking of community, make sure you join our Facebook group at The Great Girlfriends. Follow us on Instagram at The Great Girlfriends and on Twitter at @the_greatGFS. I'm Sybil Amuti and I'm out. Peace.
Yay Networks.